This is Modern Woman. Find us at modernwoman.co for further info.
There's no denying that when it comes to financial well-being, women face unique challenges and barriers. They are more likely to live in poverty than men, earn less money throughout their lifetimes, and have a greater share of caregiving duties. As a result, women often have less time and energy to focus on building financial security. Well, today I'm in conversation with a woman who is trying to change just that. Renish Myers is the founder of MoneyHeave, a company that exists to equip women with the resources and guidance enabling them to take charge of their finances and build stronger money management habits. Renish is here with us now to share about her experiences and tips on how we can all start putting this into practice. Welcome, Renish. It's lovely to have you with us on the Modern Woman podcast today.
Hi, Rosie. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
So we're obviously going to talk a lot around the work that you're doing with financial well-being and supporting individuals and companies with that. But start off, what inspired you to get into this sector?
Yeah, a number of things. Firstly, I'd say definitely being inspired by my mum. Since the age of, I would say, like 15, I've always like helped my mum with her finances. She was never really necessarily great at it, but she saw something in me. And I would always, she'd be like, you're good at it, Renish, you do it, you know. So definitely my mum. But also having worked in, you know, accounting and finance for over 10 years now, I've gone to university, I've studied in it, I've worked in the corporate world for over 10 years now. And so just seeing and hearing, people would always naturally come to me about money in some capacity. And yeah, it just got to a point where actually I definitely saw an opportunity to actually help people, because sometimes I think when we think something's quite simple and natural to us, we don't actually realize that it's definitely needed. So yeah, I just saw that, you know, individuals and especially women, you know, I could go to an event and talk about, you know, what I do, and people just really want to know and have so many questions for me, and I can really see how people need it, and I would say especially women. Yeah, that anyway, we can talk about that, but yeah, that's what I would say inspired me. And I will say this as well. I remember being part of a community, and someone had put in a group that they needed some financial advice. And you know, I think sometimes when we think of a financial advisor, they're great, the work that they do is great, and they're all about, you know, helping you multiply your money, but that management side, they don't necessarily focus on that. I'm not saying that they don't help you with that, but that's not necessarily their area. But that's something that we specialize in. And so I remember having a conversation with this lady, and she was just all over the place in her finances. And just working with her really inspired me to keep going and actually build a business around this, because I could see how much she benefited from it. So that's really how the journey started. And that was in 2020, I believe. Yeah,
so at the start of the pandemic. So yes. You've done amazing. So yeah, you know, trading through those times to get to where you are now is pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. So but I know you've been in the finance industry for over 10 years, and before starting your own company you were actually in the corporate world. Tell us about that experience and what you were doing prior to MoneyHeave.
Yes, so literally after university, you know, jumped straight into the corporate world. I started off as a junior commercial accountant. By the time I was 25, I was working as a finance manager, and I just worked my way up. Yeah, really passionate about it, and so forth. And then it got to a certain point in my career where I couldn't put my hand on it, but I wanted something more. And so I then went off to Ghana for some time. I was working with a charity over there, and I was working with small businesses, and I was helping them, you know, expand their income activities and helping them generate sustainable businesses, which I absolutely loved. And I think for me, passion and purpose was very important, not just taking a job because it paid well. And I can put my hand up and say, as great as a lot of the opportunities were, I was very much focused on how much it paid as well.
Of course. Well, everyone's got to pay bills, right?
Yeah. So but I wanted to shift that. I wanted to do something more with purpose, and so for me, I started to put that at the top of the agenda. What take money off the table, what do I really enjoy. So that's kind of how, you know, that was in the corporate world. And then most recent, like my recent, the latest role I had was working for Netflix. So I was working on their film and TV sets in finance, which I always say was my dream job. And I always say, you know, I left my dream job to start my dream business. When I think about where would I want to work, there was nowhere else other than Netflix at the time. So yeah, that's kind of a bit about my journey and how I maneuvered the corporate world and got all the experience that I needed to get to give me the confidence and so forth to now be in a position to start my business. And we're going into our third year now. So
yeah, amazing. So what would you say was that turning point between going from the corporate world and going, right, I'm just going to take this jump and start your own business?
Yes, it was about, so for example, you know, when I was working for Netflix, I was so in tune with the company and I loved what they did and what they stood for, but the work that I was doing, I wasn't really passionate about it. And it's being honest with yourself. I had to be honest with myself. As great as this company is, as great as the prospects are, as great as everything is, I'm not enjoying the work like I should be. You know, I felt like I was having to force myself to work. And I feel like anytime I ever get to that point, there's change that needs to happen. So I definitely took a leap of faith. At the time, I didn't necessarily have it all figured out. But I tell you something, what I did have was financial peace. And this is something that I talk about and teach. And I think when you're in the space of financial peace, you make different decisions. You make good decisions because you're not just making decisions based on money. You're making decisions on, you know, what you actually want to do. And so for me, I got myself to that place where, you know, I left Netflix with nothing necessarily lined up. I didn't have anything lined up, but I knew I needed to leave.
I think a lot of people are chasing all the time, and I think that's part of societal pressures as well, which is a slightly separate subject. But I also know that there's a lot of women and individuals, I would say, that are in a similar position to what you was, where, you know they want to get out of their 9-to-5 job because they've got a passion elsewhere. But it's really hard to do that when, you know, you have got bills to pay and ultimately got to put food on the table. Yeah. And what challenges have you experienced from transitioning from 9-to-5 to Money Heave, I guess?
Share
with us for those that are, you know, looking to do the same.
Yeah. Where do I start, really? I'm going to start with mindset first. And, you know, definitely shifting from being an employee to an employer, from becoming an entrepreneur and actually stepping into that role, and thinking differently, thinking like a CEO of a business, as a CEO of a business. And some of the decisions I've made haven't, you know, the space I'm in now, I probably wouldn't have made some of those ones, but I needed to go through all those things and experience. And I think sometimes we're always looking for this perfect map before we make a move. And I really want to encourage people and encourage myself to continue to take risks and continue to not be hung up on getting things wrong. You know, you learn as you go along, and I'm embracing learning because I want to know everything. I want to know all the details, but I just find entrepreneurship doesn't necessarily work like that. Every day is a mystery in itself. And yes, we can have some sort of structure, and I think that's definitely important, but actually being open to, you just never know who you're going to meet today. You just never know what opportunities. So definitely faith. You know, there's been times in my business where I've not necessarily known when I'm going to get in new business, you know, if I'm being honest. But again, just trusting the process and putting myself out there and thinking about what works and, you know, putting myself in new environments. This week I was in Tottenham. I live in Buckinghamshire. Today I'm in London, and just putting myself in new environments and just being open to who knows what may happen. So, but at first I probably wasn't that person. I was very maybe a bit shy and a bit timid and not so confident. And yeah, so developing my mindset, developing my character, developing my faith has definitely helped. And you know, it's good to have reserves. And so forth. I think that's very key. However, there's sometimes where you don't have reserves as well, and you still have to,
Yeah, well, they say that, you know, we're the vast majority of the population are two paychecks from being homeless, quite literally, and obviously the cost of living going up. And I don't want to be negative about it, but I think the reality is so many people live to their means, don't they? And I know that's some of the work that you definitely work with people on, even if they've got really good jobs. So many people do live to their means. So who would you say sort of inspired you or helped you with the practical process of going from that employee to employer mindset?
Yeah. So definitely having mentors and coaches. I remember when I was working, I actually had a coach. And it's so funny because I was against all of that stuff. Like, not, I wouldn't say against it, but I'm just like, I don't need you to tell me what to do. Like, if sense. So I kind of had that posture. To be honest, how I didn't like go on Google and find a coach. My dad was like, you know, this lady, she helps people develop and grow. I think you should have a conversation. And I was like, no. But then it got to the point where I felt stuck. I felt frustrated. I lacked confidence. And I just remember calling my dad back and just saying, look, you know, can you give me that lady's number? I think I could do with the help. And we met and she was really nice. And yeah, she helped me find me. She helped me build my confidence and get my dream out of me, you know. I'm here today, you know, and I don't regret my move from the film and TV industry to entrepreneurship. And as great as the opportunity was in the film and TV industry, what I've achieved, I'm just really proud of myself. And also, you know, it's nice when I was at an event yesterday and I was saying to someone, like, it's so beautiful when you don't even have to ask for a testimonial, you don't have to ask for feedback, where people feel they have to give you feedback because you've been able to help them. And for me, that really blesses me. So it's not just been about me and me growing and setting up this business, but it's also, for me, it's about who we've been able to help. And I had to do a particular company we were working with. They wanted to know the numbers of how many people we've inspired and we've worked with. And it's been, you know, what I counted was like 1,800 and something. So within a 2-year period, wow, we've been able to help nearly 2,000 people through our coaching programs, through our webinars, through our masterclass, like all of those, through people hiring us and us going into their company and delivering workshops. You know, we calculate and we add up all those people. So for me, that really blesses me to know that we've been able to make our dent into the world and help people with financial well-being, because it's so important. And you know a lot of mental health issues happen because of money.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like that part of the conversation's happening. We're just focusing on anxiety and stress. But
absolutely, let's get to the root cause of it.
Yeah,
and I do think so, especially more so now, I would say. But there's always, you know, it's sort of the silent elephant in the room, isn't it? Money. No one really talks about it, but actually, you know, everyone's going through their own struggles and stresses around that. So I think this moves us on nicely to the second half of the podcast, to share about what Money Heaves. So can you tell us what exactly is the support that you offer and your services?
Okay, yeah. So if I was to sum up what Money Heave does, so Money Heave is a financial coaching, a financial literacy company, and we work with professionals and entrepreneurs to make, manage and multiply their money. So we do this in a number of ways. So when we talk about help, so it may be helping you with your mindset. You may have a bad relationship with money, you know. So we help you with your mindset around that. You maybe find yourself in debt. So we will help you create strategies to get out of debt. You may be in a job, a dead-end job, and, you know, you just want more. So, we also help with that and helping you to find ways that you can increase your income generating activities, because as well, I don't want to, it's not just about leaving your job. Some people really love their job, but they just know they need to find an additional stream of income. So it's also helping people create that and shift their mindset. So there's a literacy part to it, but there's also when we talk about financial well-being, for me, yes, it's important to gain control over your money, but also there's other aspects in terms of behavioral change, changes that need to happen. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about number crunching and so forth. It's so much more, and that's what I want to get out to people. Like, numbers are great, and we do need to know them. I'm not going to lie to you; it's important to know. But there is a social element to it, and there's a well-being element to it.
Yeah,
so to speak.
I want to tap into the behavioural side of it and the habits. What are the common habits that you see, and like the differences between men and women? Would you say?
So I feel so. On a whole, I think men are they would naturally want to try it themselves. They want to do it themselves. So we do work with men. I would typically it's women, you know, that we work with. And you can see the some of the differences. So one of the differences, they would probably try and do it themselves first, if that makes sense. I find that the men who come on work with us, they have gone through some coaching already.
Mm-hmm.
In some capacity, so they're quite open to it. But if
when you say try and do it themselves, what is that?
They wouldn't be, let's say, acceptant to help. They're a bit more I'll figure it out myself. I don't need anyone to help me with it. Whereas I think women are a lot more, can you help me? You know, it's like I've tried it by myself. Like I just don't know where to start. I have no idea. They're a bit more open and transparent about it. And there's a lot of history as to that as well, because many years ago, and not that long ago, women didn't typically deal with money. You know, the man of the house would deal with money. Mm-hmm. So there's reasons behind this as well. I would say that women lack less confidence. But you mentioned at the beginning about the different responsibilities, the different challenges that women have. And I think all of that has an impact as well. So, for example, if you're a carer for your mother or your children or whatever, you may not have time to focus on managing your finances or looking into that. You may be so tired because you're working, you've got to look after the kids, and then you've got to fit all of this stuff into it. So it's looking at your priorities, whereas men may not necessarily have all those responsibilities. I'm not saying they don't, because some people actually do. But yeah, I just think men take a little bit sometimes more bit more longer to make a decision, let's say, to work with us, but they are very interested in the topic. I'm seeing more now so that men are becoming a bit more open to it.
And what would you say, like, when you're working with women, what are the habits and the struggles that they come to you with?
Yeah, so there's sometimes a lot of emotional spending. So if something happens, let's say they had an argument with someone, they would just maybe start spending, for example. Other ones is just not looking at it, avoidance. So maybe not opening letters, missing calls, things like that. You know, it's very, very, very common. And I'm not saying men don't do it, but this is just something I've seen.
And how do you work with them to overcome those challenges?
Yeah, so with someone, and this is one thing I want to say, is that when we talk about money and money management, there's no one way to manage your money. There's different strategies, there's different tactics. And our clients may come with different things, and it's about really identifying what works for them in this given time. So for us, we may try to understand their background, their relationship with money, their history with money, before we even start talking about strategy, because mindset is probably 95% of it.
Yeah.
You know, and then 5% of the strategy. And if your mind ain't right, you're not going to want to start looking at your numbers. So it's really starting to just understand one's relationship. Like this week I was working with a client, and one of the things that we worked on was, you know, tell me about a negative experience that you've had with money. Let's talk about it before we even going to the numbers. You know, she wasn't necessarily ready for the numbers and the crunching and so forth. And just through doing that, we were able to unravel so many things and realize, because of the negative experience that she had many, many years ago when she was at university, it's now impacting her today in her finances. And it's about becoming aware of that and then making a new decision. And one of the stories, you know, when I'm working with my client, one story but a lot of time I mention is, you know, I remember one time when I was younger, our house got burgled, and the impact that still has on me today, sometimes not trusting, or if I'm having a good time, I want to get back home. And you maybe think, well, what's that got to do with finances? It's got a lot to do with finances, because trusting people, you know, maybe you don't want to come across too flashy, or maybe you won't buy something because you don't want to come across as you're showing off. So all these little things can have an impact on you, and it's just becoming aware and then being able to make a new decision. So I remembered one time I was out with my sister, we were having a good time, it got to a certain point and I was like, yeah, I want to go home now. And I couldn't understand why. But then I remembered that experience when I was a child and why I wanted to get home. And then I just made a new decision. I'm not going to put that energy out there. I'm not going to be spoil this opportunity of having fun with my family because I'm scared that something negative may happen again. And it's just being aware of those things, for example. So that's a practical way.
Yeah. Would you say there are similar habits in comparison to, say, someone that is employed and just managing their personal finances compared to someone that is running a business and a business owner and managing a company finance?
What I would say is, if you're not good in your finance, in your personal finances, you're unlikely to be good in your business finances. There's a correlation between the two. You know, we work with a number of entrepreneurs, but at the same time, we still, your personal finances, it has an impact. It really does. And that's another thing, like understanding financial literacy, understanding how to better manage your money, it can put you in such a better position. Statistics actually shows if you are more financially literate, you're likely to have a better job, you're likely to get paid better. To answer your question, you know, I feel that if you are good in your personal finances, then you're likely to bring that over into your business finances, and understanding that the numbers are so powerful. They tell a story, and, you know, shifting your mindset around numbers and actually starting to embrace it and see the power of it is very beautiful. One step at a time. I know not everyone will be as passionate about it as me, but it's really understanding the power, the story that the numbers can tell you, and just shifting the way that you see it, rather than seeing it as something to restrict you, when actually it's something to enhance you.
And I know you're doing a lot of work with corporate companies. We were chatting before the start of the podcast, you know, going into different companies, working on their sort of team's financial well-being. Yep. Share with us the sort of work that you're doing there as well.
Yes. So we have a number of different programs that we would offer the corporate. So a corporate company, as you said, would hire us to deliver a program, let's say, or a workshop, or do, you know, or come in and do a finance talk about money management, about budgeting, about goal setting, about savings, about credit scores, or whatever they, depending on the staff needs, we would look to create a program that would really empower the individuals, but also working with organizations who maybe have vulnerable staff and offering them one-on-one sessions. So we also do that as well. And one thing I will say is that financial well-being is not just a one-off thing, it's progressive. It's something that you want to build on. You know, you don't just brush your teeth once. You know, you brush it every day. Well, I would hope you would.
Yeah. No, if not, I'm multiple with you. Times. It's work in progress.
It's the same thing. You know, I'd say, you know, so just be, you know, if you are an organization, it's not just a tick boxing exercise. I feel like I was reading a stat that only 6% of companies have a strategy for workplace poverty. Finance is such a big case for financial well-being, yet it's not on the agenda.
It's mad, isn't it?
It's really not on the agenda.
And I feel like this about the education system as well. I went to a school the other day, ACS, International Schools. I went to the Surrey campus, which is beautiful. I mean, it's a private school, but when we got shown around the school, they were saying how they bring the real world into their day-to-day education. And I literally put my hands together. I was like, thank God, like, we need to see more of this. And we don't really do much work with schools and education system with Modern Woman as such, but it's definitely, you know, I think to myself, what we learn at school has no direct comparison to what goes on in the real world. And finances is number one. Absolutely. Like, you know, we should be learning about credit cards, we should be learning about getting into debt, we should be learning about all these things at a very young age to prevent these problems happening. You know, I mean, me personally, I got into a terrible situation with money, with a business and all the rest of it. And when I look back now, I think it's because I was naive and no one told me. No one gave me any instructions, don't do this and do this. You know, it was just all on trial and error. So it would be great to sort of see you do this work, in get it into more companies, and, you know, potentially maybe one day into schools, schools as well.
Absolutely. And this is the knock-on effect. So companies are having to be more responsible, because it's not been taught in schools. Yeah. So this is now the knock-on effect of it not being taught in schools. Companies have somewhat a duty, a responsibility to ensure that their staff are actually feel financially better, are financially healthy.
Yeah.
And, statistics shows that it's going to cost billions of money, billions and billions and billions of pounds in loss of productivity. Because one may say, well, what's that got to do with us? It's got a lot to do with you. Over 60% of people actually say that they're worried when they go to work. They're worried about their finances. They're stressed about their finances. So, having our programs and giving people these tools and resources and the support, it just gives them peace,
And I guess that leads me on to my next question around I think we're all going through, most of us, there's a lot of uncertainty in the economy and of what's going to happen. And what advice would you give to others that may be feeling really overwhelmed by their financial situation?
Mm-hmm. First thing that comes to my mind is talk to someone. I think sometimes, especially with finance, we want to keep it to ourselves. It's very quite a taboo subject. It's mm-hmm. quite private, and I appreciate that, but you just never know who maybe can help you. So talk to people, and it sometimes may be that you may not necessarily get the help that you necessarily want, but the fact that you've spoken to someone could open some doors. So talk to someone. Also, if you find that you're in debt, for example, let the company know. If you're not able to make a payment, let that company know. If someone lent you money, you would want to know when you were going to be paid. So just think of it like that. And even if they're rude to you or whatever, at least you know that you've communicated and you've let them know. So that's definitely what I would say. So kind of just like face it, mm-hmm. Even though you can't maybe see where the money's going to come from, still make some sort of steps towards it. But definitely speak to someone and find maybe a company like ourselves who can also help with this sort of stuff, because there's so much knowledge, there's so many resources that can just really help. Sometimes as well, it's not even about making more money. You have the money there, but you just maybe can't see it, or maybe not utilizing it in the right way, and so forth.
Not distributing it properly.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes it's just about even opening up yourself to new possibilities. Sometimes we're sitting on gold mines. We've got so many ideas, but because of the fear of failure, lack of confidence, we just don't take any action. And again, that's another part of it.
So
you could be opening yourself up to more income as well.
Absolutely. And I guess sort of my last question is, what advice would you give to women that are saving for the future, or to encourage them to save for the future, to embrace and create that financial security as we get older?
Yeah, what I would say is save something. You may not be, sometimes, what I find as well is that people set themselves up. So they, for example, they want to save £200 each month. The reality of it is right now, £200 is stretching. So you're finding that you're dipping into your finances. Whereas just if you save £50, you can comfortably save that without having to keep dipping. So set yourself something realistic. Don't put too much pressure on yourself. And I think £1 is better than nothing as mm-hmm. well. So do what you can. And I always say, if you get £10, for example, save £1 from that, save 50p. And it's just about building the habits. The habit is the main thing. The amount is actually irrelevant. Also have money aside for investing in yourself and growing. I feel like when we think about investments, we always just think about stocks and shares or property. Great, fantastic. But also invest in you, develop you. You are an asset. You are the greatest asset of all. Without you, what can you do? Do you know what I mean? So to do that, educate yourself, read books, go on courses, programs, podcasts, YouTube videos, whatever it may be for you. Just do something. That's kind of what I would say. But save something, educate yourself, invest in yourself. Give as well. I think there's something about giving. I remember watching this show, and there was different millionaires on there, and they were saying, and there was one guy, and they said, what do you think has attributed to your success? And he was like, I always give 10% of my salary away. I've been doing that for years. And he said, there's just something about giving. Could be tithing your money, it could be giving to family, whatever it may be for you.
Amazing.
I think that's important.
Well, I've really enjoyed our conversation, and you know, I could sit here all day and talk about this subject because I actually feel really passionate about it as well. But before we sort of come to a close, is there anything you would like to add?
I just would like to say thank you. Thank you for listening to this. I hope you've been inspired to, you know, take control of your finances, or just at least take one step towards financial well-being. When we talk about financial well-being, as I mentioned, it's not just about number crunching. There's so much more to it. And just understand, you know, every household is different. Every individual is different. And I think as long as you're taking a positive step forward, that's a great start. Seek help if you need help. If you find that you're constantly in the same position, don't be afraid to ask for help. I think that's a big thing as well. And don't be ashamed, or don't judge yourself. Don't be too hard on yourself. We all, you know, make mistakes. No one's perfect. But yeah, if it's something you want to work on, if your finances is something that you want to work on, then, you know, feel free to get in touch with us as well. We're happy to help.
And where can we get in touch with you, Renish?
Yeah, so you can visit our website, which is www.moneyheave.com, or you can find us on Instagram at moneyheave. Those are the best places.
Brilliant.
To find us.
Well, fantastic. I really sort of wish you every success with the work that you're doing, you know, sort of helping individuals and helping corporate companies. I know you've got some really exciting plans, and I'm really looking forward to watching it all roll out. So thank you for coming on the podcast today as well.
You're welcome.
And that was Renish Myers, who is the founder of Moneyheave.
This is Modern Woman. Find us at modernwoman.co for further info.